This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We're looking into what a resounding election victory for Portugal's governing party means for the nation's post-pandemic economic future. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. In a snap general election this weekend, voters in Portugal handed the governing Socialist Party a majority in parliament. That gives Prime Minister António Costa a stable government to oversee spending of COVID-19 recovery funds from the European Union. The election was called back in November after two smaller left-wing parties refused to back the Prime Minister's draft budget for this year. That, the country's president said, would be crucial to helping Portugal rebound from an economic and social crisis. From Lisbon, the BBC's Alison Roberts has more on that.
Lisbon's vintage trams carry few tourists these days, blame the Omicron wave sweeping Europe. But from this near-empty square overlooking the old city, you can see a cruise ship docked at the sleek new terminal on the Tagus, a sign things are returning to normal. The last major coronavirus restrictions here ended 2 weeks ago, and local traders look forward to the lifting of COVID testing requirements for fully vaccinated travellers within the European Union.
I see a lot of Portuguese people here, much more than tourists in the moment. We're confident that after March, things in Portugal are going back to normal slowly.
Portugal's economy is expected to grow at between 5 and 6% this year, faster than the Eurozone average. The jobless rate is now lower than before the pandemic. Still, there are many concerns. Paulo Macedo of consumer association DECO says ever more people are seeking its help in managing their utility bills, what with more extreme temperatures caused by climate change, the recent shift to remote working, and now soaring energy tariffs.
The energy performance of the buildings in Portugal, they are very poor. Consumers that were receiving like 500, 400 euros energy bill at the end of the month, and most of these persons' income, they don't receive more than 1,000 euros.
Since the socialists came to power in 2015, the legal minimum salary has been raised by 40% under pressure from other left parties whose votes the minority government needed to survive. But average salaries have been sluggish. The head of the CGTP Union Federation, Isabel Camarinha, warns that its members will be ready to take action if another socialist government doesn't improve matters or worsens them.
We have one of the highest average working weeks in the European Union. We're among countries with the highest number of people in casual employment. This can't continue. It doesn't allow the country to develop.
Lisbon's central avenue, the Avenida da Liberdade, has become an upmarket shopping destination in recent years as foreign money has flowed in. From his office, high above the traffic and smart boutiques, Tiago Vidal, the local managing director of Madrid-based public affairs multinational Llorente y Cuenca, says he expects Portugal to retain its attractions for his corporate clients.
Even now, the cost of labour is smaller when compared to other markets in Europe. A recent study from UI said that Portugal is in the 10 most attractive economies in Europe for foreign investment.
This building site is one of many testifying to continued strong demand for luxury flats, mostly for buyers from abroad. That's seen as pushing up house prices and rents, along with factors such as rising materials costs and the liberalisation before the pandemic of short-term rentals, which helped drive a tourism boom. The related housing crisis may have contributed to the socialists losing the Lisbon mayoralty last September for the first time in 14 years. But at the national level, more voters do appear to be willing to give the governing party more time to solidify the post-pandemic economic recovery. In Lisbon, I'm the BBC's Alison Roberts for Marketplace.
Global stocks are set for their worst January in 6 years, but as we check the numbers now,
Stock markets across both Asia and Europe are largely on the rise today. Benchmarks in Hong Kong and Tokyo climbed more than 1%, while indices in Paris, Frankfurt, and Milan at this hour are up in the wide range of 0.2% to 0.8%. Investor focus here is now shifting to central bank meetings this week, the European Central Bank and the Bank of England. Today, data show the Eurozone economy grew 4.6% in the fourth quarter from a year ago. That slightly missed expectations, but that's amid a backdrop of rapidly rising inflation. Prices in the region rose at an annual rate in December at their fastest pace since 1997. Shares of Macau Legend, meanwhile, in Hong Kong, that's a casino operator on the island off China's south coast, dropped 21% today to a record low. That's after the company's chief executive resigned following his arrest over the weekend. The BBC's Sarah Toms explains this all comes amid a wider crackdown by Chinese authorities in the world's biggest gambling hub.
All forms of gambling on the mainland are illegal, so people come to Macau purely to gamble. Chan Wenglin's arrest comes as authorities in Macau have really been cracking down on this illicit money outflows from China. Analysts are saying that these arrests show that China is really serious about targeting gambling as a conduit to move money out of the mainland.
So likely casino operators there in Macau would have been looking forward to the Lunar New Year holiday that starts tomorrow. This crackdown, do you think that could take a toll on people who would be coming for vacation?
Well, of course, Chinese New Year is a time when families like to get together. They like to play mahjong and perhaps even have a flutter. But if you think, for instance, that Mr. Chan, he's also chairman of the TAC Chun Group. Now, this is Macau's second biggest junket operator. Now, the best way probably to describe them is moneylenders. That's kind of a mixture with travel agents for VIPs. So Mr. Chan's arrest comes just months after the head of Macau's largest junket operator was arrested in November. Now, over the past 12 months, licensed junket operators have shrunk nearly 46%.
Is there a worry that Macau's casino operators will be able to survive this crackdown, especially coupled with the impact of the COVID pandemic?
They've already been through the ringer, to be honest. Firstly, hit by the pandemic, while other countries and territories are opening up. Basically, the only people coming into Macau at the moment are actually travelers from the mainland itself.
The BBC's Sarah Toms for us. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thanks very much, Victoria.
Finally, in the last week, it was Neil Young, then Joni Mitchell, who removed music from Swedish streaming platform Spotify. Their decisions were in protest to the service's refusal to take down popular podcasts by Joe Rogan, whose commentary on COVID vaccines has drawn controversy. Now, Spotify says it will take action in the coming days to combat COVID disinformation. It's planning to add advisory notices to content discussing the virus, and it says it'll direct listeners to a dedicated hub providing authoritative, data-driven facts about the pandemic. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.